Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Hanging out at the Atlanta Boat Show. And, guys, we've been down here all day. Mike and I are salivating over these wonderful boats, going, I want that one, I want that one, and I want that one.
And if you do contribute to my GoFundMe page, you will get a day on the boat with me. That's with a minimum of $1,000 contribution, Carl.
Atlanta Trev says, Dukes, how about Sea Dukes for my boat name?
Yeah, Sea Dukes. Sea Dukes,
I like that.
You got to put a name on that sucker, man.
I do like that.
And we or the Duke of the Lake.
We just found out, because I didn't realize it, Michael Jordan's boat is Catch 23.
Yes.
Catch 23.
This Shout out thing to James Sanders out in Social Circle.
We saw it in Hilton Head a couple years ago, and it was breathtakingly, the lines on that sucker are so smooth, it's unbelievable.
Mike, I've seen it, and a guy told me, he wasn't on the boat that day, he just said, that's Jordan's boat, and I was like, really? Because it's ridiculous. But, again, we were talking about boats because we're down here at the boat show. Guys, we got a lot
Chris
to get
Chandler
to.
Has a boat. Pick six.
Oh, that's wrong. That's not right. That's not right. We've been down here at the boat show, but we've been talking about Arthur Blank and the presser today and what happened over at the Arthur Blank Family Foundation. He spoke for how long today? About 30 minutes?
About 35 minutes, I think, in my guesstimation.
And the main thing, these are the things that we took from it, okay? And again, if you're just joining us and you're going, Dukes and Bell, what about this Matt Ryan thing? Guys, they have started interviews today. They're going to run through the weekend. Matt's not the only one they're interviewing for this president football job. And it's president, football, president of football. It's not football ops. That is how Arthur described it. But that has started. Then they're going to get to the coaches. Harbaugh, by the way, they said they're interested. Arthur Blank said he's interested. But those interviews for Harbaugh, he pushed them. I'm not interviewing until next week. So we don't know at what point the Falcons will talk to John Harbaugh. But here's the other part, Mike. In firing Raheem, he said this wasn't a quick conclusion. You and I had talked about evaluating the whole season, which is something you said.
Right.
Or were the four games going to be enough? And Arthur made it clear today that this was a full season evaluation. And that is why he came to the conclusion to move on. But he also said today that the search firm that they hired, Sportsology, and GRG is the other firm. Okay, Sportsology is going to help with the general manager's search. GRG is going to screen and filter guys for potentially the coaching jobs and help the committee, which is the folks in the building, understand the candidates that they have and who's coming in. So he explained a little bit of that. But here's the point. Our owner said today, Mike, that communication and accountability were the key issues that he got from this Sportsology firm and this report they gave him. And we all kind of looked at each other and went, this is kind of what we talked about all season. But now it's been confirmed, and Arthur's saying, look, I'm not in the day-to-day stuff. I'm letting the football people handle it. But when you have this firm come in or this Sportsologist, folks, and they interview 30 people and they talk to the general manager and the coach and this is the conclusion they come to, this is why he said he made the decision. Lack of accountability and communication.
Well, I mean, it's like, have you ever had one of those? Now, generally, it's anonymous. And you'll get the survey. We actually did one with our corporation a couple of years ago where they ask you about your supervisors, you're back about the organization.
Yeah.
And it's all anonymous. Supposedly, a lot of people are always a little leery of that.
Yeah,
but
leery.
In this case, look, there was no accountability. The fans saw. There was no accountability with special teams. It never got fixed. There was no accountability with the play calling, with the offense, and helping Penix Jr. evolve. So, I mean, and how it gets to this point, I don't know. Does Rich McKay become the guy that everything falls at his feet? Maybe. He's out of the process. He was a constant for a long time. If the Sportsology guys felt that he was an impediment, so be it. So now we're hoping for a fresh set of eyes. Matt Ryan potentially to be that guy. Now today, again, this is a mandatory press conference once your season is over. Folks are expecting more today. That's not what this is.
Nobody's been hired.
So no one's been hired. That search continues for all three positions. My only beef with everything that Arthur said today was to sit and proclaim that Michael Penix Jr. is his franchise quarterback in his guesstimation. I just thought that was an overstatement. And the exact statement was, he felt, I do think Michael is our franchise quarterback. The injury he sustained was on his other knee. Surgeon felt 1,000% secure in the medical procedure. They felt his knee would be better than before. So, fine if he proves that, but let's let a coach and a general manager come in who might look at Michael Penix Jr. and say, you know, with all due respect, Arthur, I don't think he fits. He doesn't fit what I do. And that, to me, means, have you already locked it in? And is Matt Ryan feeling that same way, Carl? So, in other words, if you think that maybe you want to bring somebody else in, or you feel it's time to cut bait the way they did it with Will Levis or Kenny Pickett, or take your pick of any quarterback in the first round that was a bust, or do you say, you know, yeah, Arthur, you have to now get on board with Arthur's vision? See, to me, that's meddling. You don't buy that.
No, I do to a certain degree. But I also think when Arthur was asked about, do you see Michael Penix as a franchise quarterback? And he says yes. And then he said, I can't dictate to coaches or the coach that I'm going to hire who he should keep. It's contradictive in the way that you say, hey, I really like the job Jeff Ulbrich did, but I'm not going to tell the next coach he can keep Jeff Ulbrich, but I am going to tell the next coach that this is our franchise quarterback. So I also believe the investment guys, they're not willing to give up on Michael Penix, nor should they. And so for the owner to come out and say this, one way to look at this, Mike, and I don't know, is you say, whoever is going to be offered this job, you have an owner who believes in this quarterback, and the new people are going to have to help this quarterback get better. And this is going to be our guy until he isn't. But we have a guy we believe in, and we drafted very high, and it was an organizational decision. Arthur owned that today, saying it wasn't just Terry or Ra. I was in on that because it was just too big. It affected too many people. So he says, yeah, we paid Kirk, but we also made the decision to go get Penix. With that said, I want you to hear this because, I know you have the soundbite. Can we play that for our audience where he talks about Michael Penix today and talking about Penix being the franchise guy?
I do think Michael is our franchise quarterback. The injury he sustained was on his other knee. The surgeon felt 1,000% secure in the medical procedure they went through, and they really felt his knee was going to be even better than it was before. He's on a successful rehab program. He's back in Atlanta. He's committed mentally, physically. He feels good. So, yes, I would certainly see that.
You know, Arthur today, and you and I were talking about this off the air, you'd love to see, you know, Arthur first be happy. Is this misery now? It just seems like the energy in the room, it was like, wow. You know, Arthur's not getting any younger, and would you like to maybe take a back seat? But no billionaire owner is going to do that in today's NFL. Certainly Jerry Jones isn't going to cede things to Steven, and Arthur's not ready to do that with his son either. But you just feel if you're a Falcon fan, man, can we do this in Arthur's lifetime? Because he wants to win really bad. He just hasn't known how.
Hopefully this new layout, Mike, of the front office, maybe it helps him.
But isn't it just the same thing minus Rich McKay and Matt Ryan is now Rich McKay?
No, look, I want to look at this differently. And until, again, I don't know what this is, so guys, don't get mad at me, even though I know you like to. We haven't seen this in action yet. I haven't seen this work for 2 or 3 or 4 years.
Right.
We hadn't won 13 or 14 games. So I don't know what this looks like until we get a chance to see it. But what I want to believe, and this is the part where I said, okay, Mr. Blank, that's interesting. He wants someone to have accountability and guidance to the head coach and the general manager. And when he said that, I was like, okay, wait a minute. Usually the head coach and the general manager, one or the other, comes in and dictates that.
Right.
Here's what he said in regards to having this president in this new position being involved in the day-to-day.
The general manager will do his job. The head coach will do their job. They both will be accountable to the president of football. So there'll be dialogue, exchanges, ideas, et cetera, but at the end of the day, you want the head coach and general manager to have the final say in their areas of responsibility with the input and guidance from the president of football.
So a lot of organizations, and I know, you know, we don't know the intricacies of all these organizations, but many of them are run this way.
Right.
And we haven't had this because traditionally it's just been general manager and coach, and then you answer to Rich, who was president, and or CEO, should I say, or whatever his title was at the time. And then, you know, everybody answered to Arthur Blank. The answering to Arthur Blank's not going to change. Here's what I do think is going to change. this president position, Mike, which is why it's so important and everybody's figuring that it's going to be Matt Ryan, is somebody that knows the organization, maybe a guy that even played. That's something that we heard with Mike Conte, that has experience on the field, but somebody that's going to hold the coach and the general manager accountable. Now, you're going to say, wait a minute, to Mike's point, wasn't Rich McKay supposed to be doing that?
Right.
Maybe, but apparently he didn't. And this is why you go, that will be that guy's job. How we want to play, and I was like, I don't get this. The president's not going to be dictating how the team and the physicality and the makeup of the team. That's why he wanted to clarify this role. And look, I don't know if it's going to work, but when you talk about day-to-day and the guidance of helping those guys do their job, giving them input, but also holding their feet to the fire, that is what he feels like has been missing.
Again, I just don't understand how this hasn't happened the last 8 years.
Because nobody told him.
I don't know. Like
and
I said,
you know who was supposed to tell him?
Rich McKay?
Correct.
I mean, but this – and it's funny because, you know, some people feel that Rich is just a fall guy and, you know, they've marginalized him enough already and this was just simply window dressing because he's become toxic to Falcon fans. But either way, who's asleep at the wheel? That's why, you know, Arthur Smith dictates we're going to go get Kyle Pitts for the general manager that was hired after him. Why don't you just hire a general manager and say it's your friggin' show and you hire the coach? And there's the pecking order. And take the move. See, I don't like adding more moving parts. I even said to Carl, as much as a lot of folks are interested in John Harbaugh, he's more of a CEO. He's not like coming in as I'm an offensive-minded guy or I'm over the defense. So that's just another layer. I'm confused why this was so difficult to figure out and what now changes other than hoping that Matt Ryan comes in with a fresh set of eyes and has his ish together and he straightens this thing out. And again, some fans say, how do we know he will? Well, because Matt is he's performed at a high level. He knows the league. You know, I mean, Carl, he's good at what he does.
He is, but I want to believe that it'll work, but I can't tell you it absolutely will.
No, just real quick to clarify, I got guys killing me. Guys, I'm rooting for Penix. All I'm saying is we don't know what Penix is. And to pronounce him a franchise quarterback when you don't know he's going to come back from the knee injury and be the same guy, I know it's the other knee, but it's three knee surgeries. This guy's he struggles to finish seasons, whether it's college or pro. That's what I'm worried about. So I'd like to keep it open-ended for any potential new GM or coach. That's all.
All right, guys. Last but not least, Mr. Blank said today the lack of clarity for the vision of the team was something he learned in this report, and that is why they went to this new structure. All right, we're coming back. Since the end of 2025 basketball season, the Hawks, the Braves, United, and the Falcons have all missed the playoffs. And now we're looking for another star. We'll get into that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It is Dukes and Bell talking to the folks down here at the Boat Show. We got a winner, man, with our cornhole. And, man, this guy was killing it.
Yeah, the dude Hayden, who looks like Paul Skeens from the Pirates.
Yes, he does.
I was like, dude, your girlfriend's hot. But, yeah, so this guy just got it done. So tickets for the big game tomorrow night at Mercedes-Benz.
All right, man. Last night, news broke during the game. Ice Trey, this chapter has ended in Atlanta. He is traded to the Wizards. We know now, C.J. McCollum. The bottom line, guys, is this is more about Trey and this franchise and where it goes than it is about the pieces we've received in return. Look, I think C.J. McCollum's really good. Crispert.
Right.
Yes. I don't think he's here for the long
term.
Don't
worry about getting his name right because he won't be here that long.
I don't feel that way either, Mike. I think, you know, again, these deals have to work from a salary standpoint. The numbers have to line up. But at the end of the day, you know, C.J. McCollum is still a solid vet. And he'll come in here and do what's asked.
Right.
I thought he was really complimentary of the Wizards, by the way, on his way out, was asked about how the organization's being run. And he said, look, ownership here and the general manager did everything they told me they were going to do, and they're moving in the right direction. Problem is, Mike, they're young, and they're not winning a lot of games. So that's the situation Trey's going to. But let's talk about Trey's tenure here with the Hawks. Because now that it's official, now that it's over, how are we looking back at this and saying, all right, this guy came in and he was supposed to change the franchise. Did he?
I mean, two ways of looking at it. You want to say untapped potential, because Trey is a bunch of records that Trey's name is attached to. Milestones, how quickly he got to this or that.
Sure.
You know, assists, points, all the things, that, you know, all the metrics you'd want with a point guard. But then you brought up yesterday, you know, did you have enough physicality and toughness and defense-minded players around him? Because you had to take the good with the bad. Trey, for all the great things he does, and we all know the great things he does, he is a liability defensively. And it's funny, I saw, who was it, Jason Williams, White Chocolate, was talking about it today, going, they say the same thing about me. I was working my butt off. I just, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, as far as playing defense. But now Trey goes to a place where, if we're honest, it's going to be a bit, you're almost a step, you're looking up at the Hawks, you know, a few steps back, you know, as they change things around. Now, they got a lot of cap space. They got great picks. Maybe they get the pick and roll with Sarr going and see where it goes. And people now will root for Trey, and we'll see where Trey and Luka go in their different destinations, and people will compare the Hawks. A lot of pressure now on Antsi Salé to go make this work, and I think even more pressure on Quinn Snyder. But real quick, you asked the legacy. They never added the pieces when they should have around him, and they made mistakes in the roster building. The DeJounte Murray thing comes to mind.
Yeah, I mean, look, were we better with him or without him? The answer is we were better with him. We were relevant, and it is not solely Trey's fault that that relevancy faded after the 21 season, and we went through 3 years of play-in and mediocrity.
Right.
That's not on him. It's not on him. And some people say, yeah, what about the coaches, though, man? He got the coaches fired. Okay. Did he have some input into that? Yes. Lloyd Pierce, absolutely. Nate McMillan, sure. But I also feel like you didn't invest the way Mike thought, you know, talks about investing. So my thing with this, man, is, look, Trey had some amazing moments here. Some incredible shots, some game winners, Mike, some huge nights, and big-time playoff performances.
Right.
I can't take that away from him. But at the end of the day, this isn't Dominique. This isn't that. And as good as he was, and look, the numbers speak for themselves. I told you the other day, we're talking about, you know, third NBA high-scoring, you know, assist average in the league. And his career is far from over. But I don't think it's the Dominique, you know, scenario. And so with that said, is he the second best player in franchise history behind Dominique? Yeah, I'm willing to say that. But I also think, Mike, that we underachieved during his tenure. And some of that fell on his shoulders because of how he was supposed to lift the team up and in many cases carry them. And he couldn't do it.
Now, you know, we said when Travis Schlenk started to build this thing, we thought it was going to be Golden State East or a version of Golden State. You never got that consistent other splash brother. You never had that kind of Draymond Green toughness in the front court. You know, you never went and spent money to go get a guy like Iguodala who helped them the initial run for championships for Golden State. I mean, it was basically they ran it back with the same squad. You know, it was Trey, Herter, Capella, Bogey, Gallinari, and John Collins. John Collins needed more lead in his butt. You know, got pushed around, was an inconsistent three-point shooter. You know, you needed to move, I thought, in hindsight, move Collins when there was a better value there, improve the front court, and get guys like, remember, Lou Williams. You needed more scoring off the bench, too. And I think they just didn't invest with, they gave Herter their contract, and then they let him go. Remember that? They got him off the books. So it's almost like there was no consistent message. Are we going to get into – do you have to get into some layer of salary cap to make this team a sustainable champion? And we'll never know. And then the DeJounte Murray thing was stupid. Now, the one thing about Trey is, look, if Nate flies to Oklahoma City and asks you what you think about this, don't say you're going to live with this and do it, and then don't do it. And as you pointed out years ago, two ball-dominant point guards can't coexist. So that was a stupid idea from – we put Wrestler's son, right, and Landry Fields and company.
Yeah, look, stars need help.
Schlenk wouldn't do it. That's why part of the reason Schlenk was got.
No, you don't give up three first-round picks for anybody unless their name in their prime.
Right.
In their prime is Steph, LeBron.
Right.
Like Giannis. I mean, like seriously, I'm not giving up three first-round picks for very few guys, and they have to be in their prime. With that said, mistakes were made in the front office. Not all Trey's fault. But, man, I will say this. I miss his swag. Because he had it, and he'd bust a three on your ass and let you know about it, and he'd hit a game winner and let you know, Mike, and say what you want, Atlanta. Nobody was taking those bows at the Garden prior to Trey Young. So there are a lot of things that I'm going to miss about his makeup, but now I want to see Jalen Johnson and whether or not he's going to become a legitimate star in this league. I want to see if Quinn Snyder can really coach this group up and improve the group in a way, Mike, where, you know, hey, we're better without Trey on the floor. Well, show us.
Right. I mean,
show us.
That's what I want to know. I mean, McCollum is here in the short term, you know, and we may – the Anthony Davis thing, both of you and I are kind of lukewarm on that because what are the odds Anthony Davis comes in here and he wears a suit, you know, for the rest of his time in Atlanta? So I'm still not sold on that. But we will have a, more of a defensive posture. The good news is you got Trey off the books if you feel that Trey is, again, the die is cast, he doesn't fit.
Well, you can go make a play right. for a legitimate star with the money now
right.
that you're not paying.
And the good news is we still hold on to those picks.
Yes.
And that could be transformative. We may get our next generation point guard.
Absolutely.
You know, with that Pelicans pick.
What do you guys think, man? 404-726-0929. I know many of you were shocked. Some of you were at the game last night. I had friends at the game. People that, you know, work with the network were like, yo, what do you know? Nothing. And then it all went down, and Trey left, and he came back. It was a weird kind of deal at the game simply because once you got word that he was traded, everybody's like, well, what's he doing? What is he doing here? Either way, Trey Young, thank you for your time in Atlanta. I'll be the first to say you made us better. You made us relevant. And people wanted to watch our team because of Trey Young. And I know many of you think that he's not all that. I'm here to tell you, I've traveled around the league. He is a star. There are kids waiting at the bus, Mike, to get his autograph. There are people at the hotel who want to see Trey. There are kids on the road who go to see Trey Young. So he's not maybe in your eyes a superstar. And we debated
right.
this.
Is he a star
but
or a superstar?
But right he's right. a star, man. And there is something to be said about having a guy like that that people want to go see play.
Now, again, all the stuff you saw, you know, like the clickbait on the internet, I don't know. Look, is he a prickly personality at times? Yeah, a lot of
Absolutely.
Basketball plus star athletes are in any sport, in any walk of life. But it's just if you are looking at the big picture now, okay. If you feel that Trey got wronged by the Hawks, let's go see what you do with the Wizards. And you know, all that stuff that was that clickbait nonsense we talked about, why doesn't he get the respect as the all-star teams? Why don't his peers feel warm and fuzzy about him as Atlanta Hawks fans do? Don't know.
Don't know.
But now it's a clean slate and like a divorce, probably better for both parties.
Yeah, and let me say this, too, in regard to Trey. Mike's been saying this, you know, for weeks now. Two things can be true. All the things I just said about him are absolutely true. But the other part is he a true leader? Is he the guy that can lead a team and guys truly want to go out, Mike, and play with him? For the 8 years he was here, you know we heard consistently? Guys don't want to play with him. Guys don't want to play. And I don't know if that was true.
And then Nikhil Alexander Walker says he came here partly because of
right. Trey.
Right.
I mean, so this is like one of those misnomers where you go, and that's why, Trey, we play that soundbite, state your source. Because when people say, oh, man, nobody wants to go there and play with him, okay, so what's the deal? So I don't know if that's, you know, 50% true, 60% true, but we heard it nonstop
state
throughout his
source.
Tenure here about guys, oh, well, we ain't going to get that guy because he don't want to play with Trey. Okay.
But here's the thing, you know, right. as we said, Trey was, Carl just touched on it, he was on the cusp of superstardom to be the next Steph Curry.
Yes.
But they just, again, the team never got, see, you got to be on the stage. You got to be on that stage to be that superstar. I mean, why do we talk about Ant-Man now, right? Why do we talk about, you know, all the guys in Oklahoma City, right? Because they're on that stage. You know, that's, you know, Tyrese Halliburton's on a bigger stage.
Yep.
You know, he got to play in the, as he said, he was the victory cigar in the Olympics, right? But again, they're going farther and higher in the playoffs. Jay just hit us up on Twitter. Follow us. He's put him up. C-Dukes, I'm Mike Bell, ATL. He goes, apparently the league doesn't value Trey like some fans in Atlanta do. He's just not the guy everyone wishes he was. He's an undersized and ball-dominant guard. It didn't translate to wins.
This is true.
Roster might not be his fault, but either way, he's not it. Now, again, the trade value diminished, and the only place that would give him that extension is the Wizards.
Yeah.
That's another part of it. There wasn't like yet five teams calling the Hawks, we want Trey Young.
So here's what's funny about that, and Jay, you're not wrong. What those value evaluations are, though, are from teams. Team evaluations and what fan evaluations are different. It's why you and your boy argue all the time. It's why you fuss with family about a particular player. League evaluations, you're absolutely right. There are numerous teams who feel the same way you do about undersized and ball dominant. Can we really win with them? But I asked you guys this question last week. If you sat at a conference table with the Hawks and said, can we win big with Trey Young? And the answer is no, you need to trade him, which is what they've done. But I will also say this, Mike. 2021, it would have never happened. He was too hot. He goes on that run. What if the Hawks came out and said, hey, we're trading Trey Young? You telling me five or six teams wouldn't have been in on that?
Oh, yeah, heck yeah. It's all about the timing.
It's the timing. It has nothing to do with whether you think he's a good player or if he can or can't play. He's as hot as fish grease in 2021. And if we ended the season and all of a sudden the franchise said, guess what, we're willing to trade Trae Young, I'm telling you there would have been a bidding war.
Right.
But now franchise has been down. We've been in the play-in. He has not played well with others at times. He's hurt. Oh, he ain't got no trade value. Okay.
It's just, as we said, two things to be true. He's everything we've talked about. Now, again, he's got a chance to reinvent himself. You know, and there's I got a kick out of it. Look, I've talked about this when Dominique got traded. There's people who still talk about it, that are still in their feels about that. The stupidest trade the Hawks
and they
ever made.
Should be,
because you know they were. Correct me if I'm wrong, Danny. They were first place when that went down, and that was the year Michael was playing baseball. So you could have had it, you know, because the Celtics Bird's back was Jack. You know, you could have been there, Carl. That was the dumbest thing they've ever done. But Neek did more than Trae ever did. That's also true. And I mean, I get it. Trae's your guy, but it's not Neek.
Yeah. Neek had legendary battles on the playoffs, and he also had arguably the best slam dunk contest in the history of the NBA. Hands down.
I think the Hawks only missed the playoffs 4 years out of his 12 or
tenure.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a dog, man. All right. We're coming back. We've got to get to our strong arm story of the day. By the way, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We're live at the Atlanta Boat Show. It's Dukes and Bell.
You got any more questions about that, then you can talk to somebody else about it. That's all I got to say about it.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Who's going to win tonight? Guys, it's a national semifinal. It is the U taking on Ole Miss, 7:30.
I bet with my heart tonight, Carl, with the pick segment.
Yeah, man.
I took the Rebs. I know that's it's an amazing Cinderella story.
It is.
I mean, you could make a movie out of that sucker, but Miami's just so stout on the line of scrimmage, man. Their D-line, that O-line is just so good.
Yeah, I look. For Georgia fans, and I said this, does it matter if Carson Beck ends up winning this game and they end up in the national championship game? Does it matter to you? I don't know if it does. Or maybe you're like, look, he was a dog. Wish him the best of luck. Maybe he wins a national title with them.
They turned on Carson Beck, man. They turned on him.
I feel that way, too.
You know, Lamborghini, Carson Beck, go down to Miami. And it was like, you know, and when the opportunity came, Kirby's like, bye.
Yeah, see you later.
You know, that was it.
I am calling
Turtle.
Carson Beck a bum.
You did call him a bum.
At the time.
You did. So tonight.
I go with what I know at the time, Carl.
That's true. Tonight.
That was after the Alabama game.
Miami. Look, I again, if you've not watched them, maybe tonight's your first time watching Miami all year. ACC, you hadn't concerned yourself with it. We're in SEC country. Maybe you have. They're really good, guys. And they got a really good offensive and defensive line. Mike, I think they will be able to hold potentially Ole Miss down. But if they don't, and let's just talk about the other side of this. We could have a Cinderella, if Indiana
yes.
wins, a Cinderella national championship with Ole Miss and their coach leaving to go to another SEC school, and Indiana, who's never done anything in college football, playing for the national championship. For everybody that says you don't want Cinderellas, how intriguing is that?
That's the good news about NIL and transfer portal. The bad news is all the crap that happened to get us there. The fact these dates of the NCAA has got to – I mean, as soon as the season is over, do what you do best, NCAA. Take like 10 months to figure this out. It's not that complicated. You get a calendar. You get a Sharpie out. Okay, from now on, it's going to be January 20th
yeah.
is now the that's your transfer portal. It's not that complicated. You know, so that's one step in the right direction. I'm pulling for Ole Miss. I love the attitude. These guys, like, you know, we don't really care who the coaches are, and the attitude, Pete Golding's attitude. I like it. But Miami, man, Akeem Mesidor, 10.5 sacks.
Beast.
They got a 1,000-yard receiver.
Beast.
You know, I mean, you and I were talking about the draft because just kind of off the air the other day. Carson Beck right now, Sporting News SI, they have projected as a second rounder, day two guy.
Yeah.
So he can improve. Like, if Carson Beck balls out these next two games, that changes.
It does. I feel that way. Look, I think, everybody's talking about, what's the kid, Damon up at Oregon?
Right.
How he could maybe move in front of Mendoza
right.
if he balls out and decides to come out. And I'm like, what? I'd like to see him go back to school. I mean, he's been really good, but I don't know about that. But the point is,
Dante
Morris,
everybody, the Giants, I mean, the Jets are on him for the draft.
It's how you finish. If Carson Beck, the problem is, Mike, he hasn't thrown for a lot of yards in these games leading up to tonight. And, again, he hasn't needed to. Great defense that, you know, they're holding people down, make a couple of plays, kick a field goal or two, and you win the game. But Carson Beck hasn't had those wow playoff moments.
Right. 27 TDs, 10 picks.
So, let's just say tonight, he goes off on Ole Miss and throws for 350 and four touchdowns. Mm-hmm. It's a different deal. If he's the guy that's controlling the game and getting everybody to the Brock and, you know, making his players better, then I think, you know, again, eyes will open up. But the tape doesn't lie. Carson Beck has been good this year, but in the losses, man, he was bad. In those two losses for Miami.
Yeah, Louisville and the SMU game.
He was bad. So we'll see what we get tonight. But, yeah, that defense, man, they got a kid, Reuben Bain, beast. Miami, they got some dudes, man. I mean, like, Miami's going to put a bunch of guys in the NFL this year in the first round, I truly believe. And so it's very similar, and I'm not going to say it's Georgia 20, 21, 22, but this defense, this is as good as Miami's defense has been in a very long time.
Right, and I've said it, and again, I bet against Miami, and just like with Indiana. You know, I've heard people do it too. I was joking around, I heard Brandon Adams talking about it with Andy Randy talking Dog Nation the other day. And, yeah, you're right. It very well could be, you know, this Miami-Indiana thing. And, you know, you got Cignetti, who's just done a fantastic job.
Yes.
Took advantage of the portal. Mark Cuban's cutting checks. You know, Indiana. I told you, Carl, I parked at Cigna to come over here today.
Yeah.
And they're just coming in, and they're just grinning ear to ear. They're just so happy. You know, the lady literally, oh, I love this hotel. Everything's the flowers smell better. The wine tastes better.
It does.
You're living in the rarefied air. You're living a dream right now if you're a Hoosier fan. You guys have been garbage your entire career of football. What's the high watermark before that? Lee Corso?
Yeah, well, not even that. I mean, you're going back, yeah, probably Lee Corso. But
in recent
years.
Memory, yeah, right.
50 years. Either way.
And by the way, 3-point dogs are Ole Miss.
First team to win the Big Ten title since 45.
Wow. Yeah, and that's when all guys were fighting World War II.
Yes.
So who knows what that team was. Thank you. By the way, the over-under on the game is 53.5. You think we have like a 28-24? It just dropped. It's down to 52.5 right now in Vegas Insider.
Indiana's D is good too, man. That's the other part about this. And we've been talking about all the Cignetti and the offensive stuff. Their defense gets after it. I heard him say earlier in the year, and it was very cocky, but he was like, yeah, we just don't beat top 25 teams. We beat the hell out of them.
Right.
And they have.
Right. And Oregon, you know, remember, Dan Lanning, they went into Oregon, went into Utah. They stomped them. That game, that was not even close. You're right about that. But you said it earlier. It's hard to beat the same team twice in a year.
It is.
And the way that – the thing is, you know, Dante Moore, do you trust him? I mean, that whole –
kid's cool, man.
There were some moments – that Texas Tech – God, that game was hard. That was hard to watch.
Texas Tech offense was –
first
terrible.
Half, nobody was doing anything offensively.
No. I trust Moore because I like his makeup. He's very calm. He doesn't let the moment get too big for him. But I also think when we talk about the connection – and, you know, we're talking about Carson Beck with the U, and if he gets there, they play tonight. We'll get another game tomorrow. Mike and I will break that one down. Because I think the Indiana game, being here in town, I think it's really interesting. This Cignetti thing and this run, I think it's having a lot of ADs and presidents rethink how they want to approach this. And I'm talking about from a coaching standpoint. Because, again, coaching isn't what it used to be. You got to get an executive in there who understands. And the part about Cignetti is – identifying talent, Mike, he's done a hell of a job with that.
Right. I mean, the guy, he's got a unique energy. You know what I mean?
He does.
It's almost like he's got this, like a giant chip on his shoulder, you know, an axe to grind for the perception of what, you know, what took him so long to get to where he is. But, I mean, the guy was with Saban. So now you look at, you know, Miami with Cristobal is the prodigal son, finally bringing it home for Miami after, you know, and again, he shot himself in the foot a couple of times, his coaching decisions. And then, as we already talked about, Ole Miss. And I think most people don't have skin in the game, you're pulling for Ole Miss, aren't you?
Yeah, but I was going to say this about the connection. If Lanning wins, that's a Kirby disciple.
Kirby's first disciple championship.
First one. Nick had a ton of guys who's won and gone other places and had major success, and obviously Kirby is probably his biggest example of that. But there's a little bit of me that, like, I'd like to see that too. I'd like to see Dan Lanning get over the hump and Kirby – that gives him more credit, Mike, and credibility from the standpoint of looking at his coaching tree, right? I mean, look, if Florida has success, are people going to be looking at you know, what's going on down there with the new OC and his history and where he came from? I mean, I know he just left Georgia Tech, but before that, prior to that, he was at Georgia. So I just feel like that's a really cool story too, but we'll see where it goes.
Right. A lot of guys hit us up on the text line today. It's been a crazy, as we said, 72
crazy.
Hours.
Crazy.
You know, the Falcons, and again, a lot of folks today thought you were going to hear about Matt Ryan taking this job. Not the way it works for guys who missed it earlier. This is a league-mandated deal. I guess Arthur in the past has done some of these on teleconferences, but
today,
in light of, you know, the coach and the GM getting fired, he addressed the media. We learned about this process, and I got to be honest, you know, I was talking with Carl about it earlier. It sounds to me like it's the same process. Just Matt Ryan's now riding shotgun on this thing potentially when he does get the job.
Yeah, look, I've got to see this in motion. And until we do, it's not that I don't trust Matt, and I don't think that he won't do a good job. I think he will. But I need to see how this is going to look. And let's be honest, I also want to see who our coach and our general manager is. I'm not just going to dismiss that like we can hire, you know, Daffy Duck, Mike, as our general manager and we can roll. You still need qualified and credible people who are going to question the hard decisions that need to be made. I don't want somebody coming in here just going, yes, Matt.
Right.
Matt, you're right. Matt, perfect decision. Matt doesn't need that either. We don't need that. So the GM's hire is still a big deal, and the coach's hire. And let me tell you how you make Matt Ryan's job easier if he gets the job. Again, we're just assuming this is going to happen. Hire a good head coach, man. It takes so much pressure off of that position.
Right.
Because this is why the Harbaugh thing, Mike, having been there, done it, seen it, what do you think those conversations are with Matt? Look, this is what I think we need to do. Matt's going to trust a guy like that. If you have a young guy that comes in, Matt's going to feel like he might need to be more assertive in the decision-making. Hire a good qualified coach that makes his job easier in this process while he's getting going. 5 years from now, we'll feel different.
Right. And we've talked a lot about Rich McKay over the years, and some people say, oh, it's not all that bad. It sure sounds like Rich McKay is getting a lot of heat from the objective look from the Sportology folks, and Arthur kind of addressed that.
Yeah.
You know, because how else did you get to Raheem Morris's hire? You know, a bunch of people who knew they would be marginalized if Bill Belichick got hired told you don't go Belichick. And then when everyone else started to get hired, you went, yeah, Raheem, safe hire. But it was, again, I said it then, I'll say it again, uncompelling. Mike Zonk hits his Carl up on the text line.
Mike!
He goes, hey, man. Basically, he goes, we already know Ryan has been in on all this, talking about Michael Penix Jr. Arthur Blank said what he said about him, saying he's the franchise quarterback. He goes, considering we basically know Ryan's been in on all this, I'm sure he agrees with Blank endorsing Penix.
I do, too.
I'm not sure why you're so dead set they should show no support to him. The new coach has to at least try to get him right.
I agree.
And I said, because I want an objective look at him from who's ever trying to get this job, not being clouded by the owner's opinion. Because you may have to – you want this Falcons job? The owner's already said he's your franchise quarterback. So I guess he's my franchise quarterback. That's my point.
Yeah, I kind of agree with him on that. I think that's probably where we're headed and why they are in agreement in that decision. Mm. Hey, man, we're down here live at the Boat Show. Want to remind you, it's going on until January 11th. So if you can't come, I think they close at 8 tonight. Obviously, if you're on your way, you just want to stop in. But tomorrow, over the weekend, this is great. And we just want to thank all the folks down here at the Boat Show. It's been a lot of fun. We met a lot of listeners, and more importantly, Mike and I have been on a lot of boats today. So,
we're digging it. If you want to see me live the dream, guys, down in Naples, maybe in 10 years from now, Carl, on that Giraud, it's a French boat, on the CC. Again, just anything you could give, Carl, for $335,000 GoFundMe page I've started.
All right, man. We got to get out of here. Big O, let's clear our throat. All right, tomorrow we have Steve Coonan, Hawk CEO.
Yes, my boat would be liquid assets.
Okay, very nice, Steve. We also have BMAC, Brian McFadden. Guys, NFL Wild Card Weekend is going to be off the chain. I cannot wait.
B's boat would be cover two.
Saturday, Sunday. We get a Monday night game with the Steelers-Texans. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll break down all the games tomorrow, and obviously we'll have more conversation on the Hawks as now life begins without Trae Young. And, of course, we'll be breaking down what happens tonight. One more time. You guys like Miami or you like Ole Miss?
I want Ole Miss to win. They probably won't win.
Okay.
I went with my heart. I can't get any worse with my picks this year, Carl. Might as well die on that boat.
No, I get it. I get it.
Be happy, Mike. Be happy.
Shut up, Orin.
Who do you like?
Tonight?
Yeah, man. Come on, bro. What do you like?
Bring the heat, meat. What you got?
I like Miami.
I know. I should have picked Miami. It's too late. Dice cast.
All right, man. Tonight we've got Turtle.
Yes, full show.
Oh, wow. Full show for Turtle Man. All right, stay tuned. He's coming up at 6. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man. DeMond Williams, the Washington quarterback, has been dropped by his agent, Doug Hendrickson, according to ESPN.
Cold. That's cold.
In wake of the former QB's announcement, he's going to enter the portal after he signed a $4 million contract to return to Washington. And then announces his leaving to go in the portal during a memorial service for a beloved soccer player at Washington the football team was attending. So either way, he says, I've made the decision to end my representation of DeMond Williams effective immediately due to philosophical differences. Sounds like the young man's got to get his head on straight.
Wow. Hey, man, Trae Young, I didn't like the way you handled some situations, but I also know you were young. So I'll leave
it at that.
He's innocent. I'll leave it at that. But overall, bro, thank you. You helped our city in a way that it needed help. We didn't have an identity, and certainly you gave us one. We wish you nothing but the best. It's unfortunate it couldn't work here. We would have loved to have seen it play out. And a guy that gets drafted, Mike, and stays here and then wins a championship,
yeah,
which is what everybody was hoping, didn't play out that way. Fairy tales happen very rare.
Mm.
Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't.
You're trying to find some Washington Wizards, Trae Young underoos.